Ag Outlook 2025, your yearly outlook on grains and livestock from the Mid-America Ag Network. Brought to you in part by
CanEquip, your local Case IH and New Holland dealers across Kansas. The Hydraulic Shop, hydraulics big or small, we service them all. Double T Livestock, we don't want everyone's cattle, just yours. Give Troy a call at 620-491-3312 to help with the selling of your cattle. Sandlin Auto Salvage, give us a call and we'll buy that old car or get you parts to repair it.
Now let's go to your farm broadcaster from the Mid-America Ag Network, Sam Speck.
Hello and welcome in to another edition of the 2025 Agricultural Outlook presented by the Mid-America Ag Network and broadcasted on our many respected affiliates through both Kansas and Oklahoma. I'm your farm broadcaster, Sam Speck. Happy to have you along with us as we take a deeper dive into the outlook of 2025. Of course, recapping some things from the previous year, but more importantly, looking ahead to the upcoming year in the agricultural sector and what that means for land market considerations. Also, we'll take a dive into what will trade policy look like in the second term of U.S. President-elect Donald Trump. Also, expiring tax cuts to be revived in 2025. And on this episode, we'll also take a deeper dive into the wheat, corn, soybean markets, as well as other agricultural commodities for the upcoming 2025-26 growing years and what does that mean for producers and other farmers across the United States. We'll also take a dive into this new administration and what that means for farmers and the farm economy. All right here on the Mid-America Ag Network. Sit back and relax as we take a deeper dive and outlook the 2025 year for the sector of agriculture. We will start mostly in the world of politics here on this episode as we will talk about the elephant in the room. On 2024 Agricultural Outlook here on the Mid-America Ag Network, we did not have to welcome in a new administration like we do this year and what that means and how it will affect the agricultural community. President Donald Trump's administration begins to take shape. U.S. agricultural stakeholders are wondering about the possibility of a second trade war due to potential tariff increases. A couple experts spoke upon the topic during Ask the Experts presentation on the U.S. Ag Trade Outlook during the NAFB National Convention in Kansas City. Andrew Brandt, Director of Trade Policy for the United States Grain Council, says things could be a little different during the second term of Donald Trump.
I think that could be a little different, honestly. If you look at last time, it was 232-301, which is kind of a president-only authority granted in statute. They're now talking about Congress putting it perhaps more permanently. I don't know exactly what they will do, but they're potentially talking about higher tariffs as well as more broad tariffs for any import coming in. We don't know that for sure, but that is some of the things they were talking about, which I would say during the last Trump administration, I was on Capitol Hill. I would say they potentially are a little different. Now, the long-term impact of that, I don't know. I think from our perspective, I mean, the election was the election and President-elect Trump has made he's not hiding what his plans are. I think we hope that, you know, this potential effort we're going to go through is a means to an end and we don't end up with permanent tariffs, permanent retaliation. We hope that it is kind of a way of getting leverage to rebalance things that need to be rebalanced.
Also listening in with Kim Atkins, Director of Strategic Partnerships for the United States Soybean Export Council. She says it's hard to know exactly what to expect.
For U.S. soy, certainly we are supporters of free and fair and open trade. As I mentioned, 60% of U.S. soy is exported. More than half of our U.S. soy exports go to China. So we are particularly interested in working with the administration to make sure that that access to the China market remains open. And I think phase one was particularly successful for U.S. soy, and we look forward to continuing to move in that path.
Again, that's U.S. Soybean Export Council's Kim Atkins. We also heard from Director of Trade Policy for the U.S. Grains Council, Andrew Brandt. Speaking a little bit more on those tariffs, as President-elect Donald Trump has laid out his vision for blanket tariffs on Canada, Mexico, as well as China, Trump announced on his social media platform that one of his first executive orders will be slap that immediate 25% tariff on all Canadian-Mexican products entering the United States. Trump's rationale is that such harsh economic sanctions will force the U.S.'s two neighboring countries to curb the flow of illegal drugs and migrants across America's northern and southern borders. Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum stated that her country could respond to United States imposed tariffs with sanctions of its own, but warned the economic consequences would be dire for all concerned. The Mexican president went on to say that the main exporters from Mexico to the United States are factories owned by General Motors, Stellantis, and the Ford Motor Company. So why apply tariffs that put them at risk? Now, a Canadian-born author, educated and living in the United States, thinks Trump might have a much larger plan. David Frum is a political commentator who was a speechwriter for George W. Bush. Today, he is senior editor at The Atlantic Magazine. Frum says that, for Donald Trump, free free trade between tightly integrated neighbors presents a winner-takes-all scenario. Frum suggests that Trump's endgame might be forming North America into an exclusive trade bloc where most outside economies can largely be ignored.
What Trump is about is we're going to retreat from free markets. Trump does not believe such a thing as a mutual gain from trade. There's a winner, there's a loser. Someone who dominates and someone who is dominated. And Canada's going to have to make some very difficult choices. USMCA becoming a protectionist bloc. At some point, Canada may have to choose between keeping open the benefits it gets from USMCA and trading freely with the rest of the world.
Import tariffs that raise the specter of retaliation remain unpopular with farm leaders. With some exceptions, President-elect Trump vows universal import tariffs of 10 to 20% and 60% on those Chinese goods to bring manufacturing jobs back home and raise revenue. However, farm leaders remember the steep retaliatory tariffs they faced on exports during the first term of import tariffs. Troy Bradenkamp is the Senior Vice President of Government and Public Affairs at the Renewable Fuels Association, had this comment.
We are just looking for fair trade across the board. We're not necessarily fans of a tariff approach to that.
President of the American Farm Bureau, Zippy Duvall, also spoke upon the tariffs.
When tariffs are put on other countries, a lot of times agriculture community carries the blunt of the retaliation of what comes with those tariffs.
But RFA's Bradenkamp says sometimes tariffs are justified, like with Brazil's 18% tariff on United States ethanol.
And we would certainly expect President Trump and his administration to realize that that is an unfair playing field and take the appropriate response, which could be pretty significant tariffs on any Brazilian products coming into the U.S.
In the meantime, Bradenkamp argues China should not get a United States tax break for its used cooking oil exports into America to make sustainable aviation fuel.
We would fully expect the Trump administration to take a look at that and to take action to maybe pull a lot of that back or to curtail a significant portion of that used cooking oil that is currently coming into the U.S.
The previous administration missed their deadline to issue a so-called 45Z tax rules governing SAF feedstock tax breaks. It will now likely be up to the Trump administration to do so. Unfortunately, we have to stay on the tariff topic, especially when it comes to grains and oil seeds, or really just in general all of this side of agriculture, as the fertilizers farmers use to feed their growing crops are already subject to the import tax we call a tariff. The previous administration of the Trump times imposed a 25% duty on fertilizers imported from China. It remains in place, and the Biden administration imposed a 20% tariff on phosphate imported from Russia and Morocco. Josh Linville analyzes the fertilizer marketplace for StoneX and says if the incoming Trump administration imposes a 10% tariff on all goods coming to the United States, it will do more than simply raise prices.
The anticipation was the penalty would be paid by the nation that they were imposing against Morocco, against Russia, and they would have to pay their 5, 10, 15% duty to the government in order to bring tons in here. What that doesn't look at is that because it is a commodity, that country has the ability to go elsewhere. And they have been very successful because of how tight global phosphate markets have been on an inventory perspective. They can go somewhere else.
Linville uses fertilizer sources from Russia as an example.
Oh, okay, U.S., you want to put duties on me? You want to put tariffs on me? I'll go sell it to India. I'll go sell it to Brazil. I'll sell it to Central America. I will sell it to everybody else in the world except for you. And Morocco has done the same thing. And so from that perspective, we have basically chopped off two of our most efficient and reliable suppliers of inventory and had to rely on less efficient supply lines around the world. Less efficient means higher price.
United States Department of Agriculture reports phosphate fertilizer prices rose by 93%. As for President Trump's campaign promise to impose a 60% tariff on incoming goods from China, it would not impact the fertilizer market in the United States because that flow has already stopped. However, he says an expanded trade war that would include all imported goods from all countries would become an issue.
And that's the problem with Russia. They are a major exporter, a major supplier of all fertilizers, phosphate, potash, nitrogen. So if the Trump administration gets into a little tit-for-tat type thing with Russia, and we start to include that, now not only is it phosphate that's cut off from coming here, they'll probably start doing the same thing with potash and nitrogen. Again, cutting off these logistical efficient trade routes.
Setting aside tariffs, the StoneX analyst is already concerned about the supply of urea and says the tight supply situation could drive all nitrogen fertilizer prices higher into this spring. Now we'll shift gears into the world of import-export news as we caught up with USDA's Gary Crawford. He says many United States ag products could face more export headwinds in the upcoming year.
USDA is out now with its new ag trade forecast for this 2025 fiscal year.
It's kind of a a continuation of some of the short-term trends we've been seeing over the last couple years.
USDA's chief economist Seth Meyer's description of that new forecast that is projecting U.S. ag exports at $170 billion, down from last year by about $4.5 billion. Seth Meyer says, of course, he's not happy about the forecast, but he's not surprised by it either.
U.S. export value has been falling since 2022, but of course, part of that is because commodity prices were peaking out in 22, right? So again, here, exports falling in this situation isn't necessarily a surprise, perhaps, as commodity prices continue to moderate.
Meanwhile, U.S. ag product imports are projected up by over $9 billion for a trade deficit, $45.5 billion.
He also says that the USDA is projecting another year of rising imports of agricultural products.
While U.S. exports of ag products next year are expected to fall for the third year in a row,
at the same time, imports continue on with growth in their steady pace.
USDA's chief economist Seth Meyer says that pace is not a slow one.
From 23 to 24, we saw more than a $10 billion year-over-year increase. This year, we're looking at something in the range of $8 billion year-over-year increase,
which would take imports next year to $215.5 billion. As to the nature of those imports,
you've got a couple things which maybe are very price-sensitive, market disruption-sensitive, which is coffee was a big contributor to the import value increase. But alternatively, part of it was also horticulture, which has been just growing consistently over the long run as we think about imports of fresh fruits and vegetables from overseas.
Meyer says most of those imports are not produced in the U.S. seasonally or not produced at all.
Again, that was USDA's Gary Crawford and Seth Meyer. Now, something else that's on the rise is the cost of farm labor, yet another rising supply cost for farmers and ranchers, particularly for farm workers hired through the H-2A visa program. Samantha Ayoub, an economist with the American Farm Bureau Federation, says the recently released farm labor survey gives us a snapshot of labor cost across the country.
Field and livestock worker wages were $18.12 nationally, up 3.2% from the 2023 release. However, no one realistically pays the national wage, so regionally there was an average of about a 4.5% increase in regional wages.
Ayoub says wage rates differed dramatically across the United States.
There was actually a decrease in the Lake region, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan, down 2% to $18.15. But then we have places like the Southeast, Florida, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, with nearly 10% increases. California is finally not the highest paying state in the country. They've been surpassed by Hawaii at $20.08, up 7.2% from 2023.
This report will be used to calculate the adverse effect wage rate for 2025.
The Farm Labor Survey's combined field and livestock worker wage becomes the adverse effect wage rate that DOL uses for six different standard occupation codes, and that's going to comprise 96% of H-2A workers. In December, they will post the adverse effect wage rate, which is in essence copy and pasted from the Farm Labor Survey, and that will become the field and farm worker wage for H-2A workers. It's also going to vary across the country as to when you have to start paying that wage because of the injunction on the worker protection rule.
We'll now look ahead to 2025 crop season as interest rates are starting to fall, which is a good thing for United States agriculture. David Widmar, an economist with the Agricultural Economic Insight, says it'll take time to feel the effects of the drop.
We went from 3.5-4% farm level interest rates up to 7.5%, and now we're coming down from 7.5% to maybe 6.5%. We'll start to see some improvement, but we went up a lot and we've came down a little bit. The implications of interest rates will range from borrowing costs all the way to asset valuations, and so it's going to take time to work this way through this system. But yes, time is going to be important. A little bit of relief for 2025, but long term will be important to watch.
Looking ahead to 2025, are there any reasons to think about economic conditions improving?
Commodity prices, corn, soybeans, if you look at the board of trade, there's a little bit of an improvement. That could be helpful. Some inputs have come down a little bit, so there's going to be a little bit of budget improvement. And of course, optimism. We always turn the page and we're optimistic about the next year's crop. So I think that's going to be important to keep an eye on. But producers are going to have to ultimately do a lot of review of their financials over the winter, make solid plans in their budgets. But I think they're also going to need to really say, how am I going to cut some of those fixed overhead costs that I have in my operation. You know, is my family living in shape? Is all my machinery costs in shape? Are my debt payments in shape? There's time here, time to make some positions and course adjustments.
Again, that's Dave Widmar of Agricultural Economic Insights. All right, let's get to the wheat market now, as the initial condition of the U.S. winter wheat crop was not great back in late October. It has, however, improved throughout the last couple of months, with the last reading of the year at 55% of the winter wheat crop in good to excellent condition compared to 50% last year. For 2025-26, there is expected to be little change in total U.S. wheat area. However, assuming yields fall back towards a five-year average, the domestic crop would fall by around 10% year over year, coupled with little change in both domestic and export demand would mean that the U.S. ending stocks edge lower in 2025-6. Following the poor EU crop this season, expectations of a recovery are expected for next year. Area is expected to grow, while yields being in line with the average should see the EU crop grow by 7% year over year, almost to 132 metric tons. Similarly, it appears Ukraine has seen stronger winter wheat plantings, which could see the total wheat harvest growing by around 9%, or 25 metric tons. However, Russia is expected to see yet another poor crop. Dry weather through the autumn delayed plantings, and as a result, area has also shrunk. This could see Russia's wheat crop fall around 1.5% year over year to almost 80 metric tons. Concerns over a small crop have seen the Russian government reduce its export quota to 11 metric tons from February to June, down from 29 metric tons for the same period of 2024. The cut in the quota wasn't too surprising, given the lower, poorer harvest this season, and with prospects of another poor harvest in addition, the government also raised the export duty for wheat as well. Our yearly forecast for the 2025-26 season see a further decline in ending stocks, but then potentially falling to their lowest level in over a decade. As a result, we expect CBOT wheat prices to trend higher through 25, and currently forecast prices average $6 a bushel over the year. However, similar to other grains, trade tensions are a downside risk. Sam Smack with your agricultural outlook here through the Mid-America Ag Network. We'll take a quick step aside. When we come back, we'll further dive through the soybean, corn markets, and other grain commodities for the upcoming 2025 year.
Warm up with preseason savings on New Holland utility tractors from CanEquip. Get 0% deals or cash back offers on PowerStar T5 Workmaster Utility and T6 models. These powerful, comfortable tractors deliver from 40 to 126 PTO horsepower. Warm up with preseason savings now at CanEquip in Harrington, Wamego, and Topeka. Offers end March 31st.
Commercial use only. Customer participation subject to credit qualification and CNH Industrial Capital America LLC approval. Standard terms, conditions, and other restrictions apply. Down payment may be required.
Hydraulics are a big component. From tractors to excavators.
From construction to farming.
Call the name that you should know, The Hydraulic Shop. With over 16 years of experience, Charity and the team can get your hydraulics fixed and have your equipment back up and running with minimal downtime. For all your hydraulic needs, whether it's big or small, we service them all. Call Charity and the team at 316-358-7335. That's 316-358-7335 for the Hydraulic Shop.
Sandley and Auto Salvage. Don't let that rusting metal in your yard just sit there. Get cash today by taking it to Sandley and Iron and Metal. Locally owned and offering free pickup, Sandley and Iron and Metal will take that old car or truck off your hands.
No matter big or small,
we take it all. Plus, if you need parts for an old vehicle, check out our inventory list and find the right part at the right price. Sandley and Iron and Metal, 3059 North Hoover Street, and make sure to find us online at sandleyandautosalvage.com.
You're ready for any task, and you expect the same from your tractor. No matter the job, there's a Case IH Farmall tractor ready to work as hard as you do. With easy operation, an exceptional operating environment, and more standard features that enhance productivity, Farmall tractors deliver the power and flexibility to knock out chores and keep going. Stop by CanEquip in Solomon and find a Farmall to meet the demands of your operation.
Welcome back in. Sam Speck, your farm broadcaster here on the Mid-America Ag Network with your 2025 Agricultural Outlook, broadcasted on our many respected affiliates through both Oklahoma and Kansas. As we get ready to conclude this year's Agricultural Outlook, we're not done yet. We'll take a deeper dive into the soybean and corn crop for the upcoming year, as well as other commodity news and much more, all right here on the Mid-America Ag Network. Focusing first on soybeans, as we look back to 2024, growers battled unpredictable weather from drought drought to flooding and increased disease and pest pressures. As we look ahead, who knows what conditions or outbreaks will hit? Chad Threewitz, Syngenta agronomist, is here to share how you can get the most out of your soybeans in 2025. He first talks about the weather in his region and how 2025 could be completely different.
Well, specifically this year, it was so variable across the board for my region. We had farmers that got planted early. Crops looked really good. We had other areas that it started raining and did not quit and never gave us a chance to get in. And we paid for that all season long. So I think it just sums up that no two seasons are alike, and it's really hard to predict what that risk may be, especially when you start looking at early season planting conditions.
He talks about the importance of improving plant health and crop safety for root and shoot growth, regardless of pest pressure.
For years, we've had Saltro fungicide seed treatment and really saw the benefits of it on sudden death syndrome and soybean cyst nematode protection without gaining any additional stress on the plant. The more we have looked at this, there's years where we don't have those diseases, but we've still seen benefits to that healthier plant up early, faster out of the ground, just a stronger, more robust plant. We've turned MagnaSafe technology of the ability to protect that plant above ground that we saw, but below ground. We've seen this when you compare root systems, they're healthier. You get a better root system in soybeans. We don't think of that a lot. We think about more in corn, but with soybeans, the same holds true. So enhancing moisture, improving nutrient uptake, just going to maximize our potential.
Threewitz talks about his recommended seed treatment for the next growing season.
For 2025 or any season, we never know what challenges are going to be out there. It helps to make sure that we can improve our plant health and looking at that return on investment. You know, whether we do have heavy disease or we don't, we've seen a 1.5 to 4.5 bushel increase where we didn't even have a lot of those diseases. But where we do, the greater protection with Saltro fungicide seed treatment helps us on soybean cyst nematode. That sometimes creates an infection site for sudden death syndrome or red crown rot. Now, those nematodes can weaken and stress the crop. If we can improve that protection, we're going to upgrade our protection on sudden death and red crown rot that we've started to see more of even this year in Indiana.
Again, with Syngenta is Chad Threewitz. In conclusion, let's talk about the corn industry. And unless corn prices rally, we anticipate that farmers will likely reduce acreage, just as they did for the 2024 season when acres were reduced by 3.9 million. If another 2 million acres are lost in the year ahead, that would be a loss of nearly 6 million acres in 2 years. The projected global supply for 2024 is expected to be consumed, implying a slight loss in world-ending stocks, which have remained mostly unchanged over the last 4 years. December 2025 corn futures trading near 440 is bringing value to end users both domestically and worldwide. At the same time, it's not bringing value to producers who cost of production higher than the market is currently offering. In a sense, it is like flashing neon light telling end users to buy. Realistically, will corn prices decline enough over the next year to justify buyers' risk of doing nothing now? Probably not. Buyers of corn should be alert to lock in longer deals if producers or elevators are not interested in writing contracts that far out. Use December 2025 future contracts. Now is the time to plan and execute. Many will ask, what if prices go lower? The best answer might be buy more. Corn prices relative to recent history and the cost of production are considered a value. We'll define value as the ability to buy corn at or below what it is cost to produce. Corn producers should remain patient. There are two growing seasons in front of the December 2025 contract. The southern and northern hemispheres, year-to-date exports have been strong. Currently, the December 2025 prices are likely to work out for all demand segments, yet it is important to set target points at higher prices to sell. Consider buying call option post-harvest 2024 for the 25 crop. If prices hit your targets, sales will be made on a rally with re-ownership already in place. Too often, rallies come and quickly disappear. Discuss with your advisor how to implement this approach so you can choose the best tools for your operation. Well, folks, that is your 2025 Agricultural Outlook presented by the Mid-America Ag Network and broadcasted on our many respected affiliates throughout both Oklahoma and Kansas. We thank you for joining us here on these programs, whether we spoke about livestock, land values, when to buy the land, any of the grain commodity markets, and so much more. We do appreciate you tuning in, and we hope this was useful for your upcoming year. We also wish luck to all the farmers and ranchers and all involved in agriculture across the United States for a prosperous and successful 2025. I'm Sam Speck, saying so long and good luck.
Ag Outlook 2025 has been brought to you in part by CanEquip, your local Case IH and New Holland dealers across Kansas. The Hydraulic Shop. Hydraulics big or small, we service them all. Double T Livestock. We don't want everyone's cattle, just yours. Give Troy a call at 620-491-3312 to help with the selling of your cattle. Sandlin Auto Salvage. Give us a call and we'll buy that old car or get you parts to repair it.